Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at sbnationlive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Wow, hard to believe. Already in hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, and the Big E Sports Show. If you're just tuning in here in hour two, connect with us at Twitter. Let us know what you think. You can join us at E Radio Sports. Always email the show at info@eradiosports.com. And we've got some great guests coming up here in hour two. Always great to have with us in studio. That is our producer, the multi-talented. He produces. He's an on-air personality. And that is Shay Raftus. Hello, Shay. Welcome back, my friend.
Hey, Alyssa, what's up?
Okay, so let's continue where and pick up the conversation from hour number one when we opened up tonight's show. We've talked a lot about in terms of Urban Meyer. We don't know ultimately how this is going to play out. We got your reaction. I want to focus and talk with you about the players. Interim head coach Ryan Day. What is his message going to be with the team, going forward? How do you address those young men in the room?
Well, that is going to be the difficult thing to do. And again, he's an interim coach, and sometimes these things work out, sometimes they don't. But there's a lot of respect for Ryan Day in that room, and not just there, but in all college football. If we remember, Mississippi State and the Titans both wanted to hire him. One is head coach, one is an offensive coordinator. So he's a respected offensive mind. It kind of reminds me of the Lincoln Riley situation at Oklahoma. Highly respected, an offensive whiz. Now, again, that's just in terms of play calling. Managing the whole scope of Ohio State football is a different animal. The good news is Ohio State is actually well prepared to handle this because they have two former head coaches, Greg Schiano and Kevin Wilson, on the staff.
Right.
So he will be able to be guided by them if he needs any assistance in that, plus the talent they have on the roster. Not many teams could fight through this wave. Ohio State is uniquely positioned to actually potentially succeed in that, at least in the short term.
And with this interim head coach, what I understand is Shay, he had just received a substantial raise and contract extension earlier this year.
Exactly. And that's, we talked about the getting offered the Mississippi State job and then also the Titans offensive coordinator job. It took a lot for him to turn those down and come back. And, you know, would he be the successor to Urban Meyer, you know, down the road if this didn't happen? We would see. Could he be the next successor? We'll see. But he is the right guy for Ohio State at this point. I think they made the right decision by promoting him to interim head coach.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. You've been listening to The Voice. Shay Raftus, our producer at SB Nation Radio. We've got some great guests coming up here in hour two, SB Nation Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, it's Friday night. Welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio and the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and of course, as always, many different ways and platforms on how you can connect with us here at our show in Houston. Of course, at Twitter, at eradiosports, info@eradiosports.com. You can always go back and listen to each and every one of our guests at podcastarena.com. Before we get underway with our next segment, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient. They are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, we are going to completely shift gears. We are going to be heading to New York and visiting with auction manager from Steiner Auctions, and that is Dave Amerimon, because Steiner Auctions has announced the 2018 Midsummer Classic Auction featuring more than 1,200 lots of sports, entertainment, and unique memorabilia, and it is up for bidding here through August the 4th. So, Dave, first time on the show. Good evening. It's nice to have you with us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Well, there are so many collectibles and that are featured and so much memorabilia. The items are so diverse. Kind of indulge all of our listeners tonight. What can they look forward to?
They are definitely up for a diverse selection. We have the biggest selection we've ever had in our auction. We've got a Babe Ruth game-used bat, circa 1924.
Nice.
We've got a music collection of original posters from the 60s featuring Grateful Dead, just a bunch of huge fans. Jimi Hendrix. We've got an original collection of Sopranos screen-worn items, original scripts. It just goes on and on, the selection we've got right now.
Okay, you were talking about Babe Ruth, the game-used New York Yankees bat. Also, for baseball enthusiasts, the 1960 Pittsburgh Pirates World Series trophy. Give us a breakdown on that. I mean, it's beautiful. I saw it online.
Yeah, you don't ever see 1960 Pittsburgh Pirates World Series trophies. You don't really see World Series trophies come out because they belong to the players. They belong to the coaches. They're real personal items. Ours actually comes from Alabama, from Virgil Trucks, who was a coach on the team in 1960 and was a player prior to that. 1960 World Series, according to most historians, is actually the biggest, one of the most prolific and important World Series because it was a seven-game series. The Yankees ended up losing in Game 7 to a walk-off homer on Bill Mazeroski's home run. So it's very rare a World Series ends in that fashion. And to get the trophy there from the Pirates, they only won another World Series in 1979 after, so there's very few Pirates World Series trophies around, and we have one of them in the auction right now. So I'm really curious to see where that one's going to end up.
Absolutely. That is so exciting. Hey, you're listening to The Voice, auction manager from Steiner Auctions. That is Dave Amerimon, who is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, Steiner Auctions is currently holding their Midsummer Classic that's going to be going on, through Saturday night. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. You can bid on SteinerAuctions.com. It's online, so anyone can go. We're actually featuring a lot of the items in Cleveland at the National Sports Collectors Convention as well this weekend, all weekend, so people can come out and take a look at the items in person or a bid online as well.
Well, I am, Dave, I have to share, I'm an NBA fan. I can't say I'm a Cleveland Cavalier fan. LeBron's no longer there, but talk to our Cav fans out there because there's a jersey of LeBron James.
That's right. We actually have a game-used jersey from LeBron James from this past season. He scored in excess of 20 points in the jersey. It's from his final season with the Cavaliers.
Right.
Michael Jordan game-used jerseys that are photo-matched to specific games, they're upwards of $100,000 right now. So LeBron, obviously, he's not quite the level of Jordan as far as collectability yet, but I anticipate down the line he certainly will be. And we have a photo match jersey, so it's actually been matched to the specific hole patterns and things like that, so we know the exact game it comes from. It comes with perfect authentication. It's already at $17,000 in the auction right now.
That's incredible. Hey, tell us, Dave, while you're on the program tonight, tell us about Steiner Auctions. How many times during the year do you guys hold auctioneers?
So we have four big auctions a year, four catalogs that we run.
Okay.
Those are going to be, they're usually around the Super Bowl time in the spring. We have a big one in the summer, which this one is. Last year at the summer catalog auction, we sold Aaron Judge's debut jersey. We got $160,000 for the first jersey that Aaron Judge ever wore. So this auction is the kind of the piggyback off of that auction, and it's our biggest auction of the year. And then we also run weekly auctions every week. So at any point in time, someone can come on to SteinerAuctions.com and actually bid on items. But the catalog auctions are where you're going to get the big, big-time game-used items, the World Series rings, the trophies, the baseball cards from the turn of the century, and just the really rare expensive items.
And, you know, from what I've been able to gather, I mean, Steiner Auctions is the premier destination to co-sign high-end sports memorabilia, correct?
Yes, that's correct. We've gotten record prices on Michael Jordan game-used shoes. We've gotten the Aaron Judge jersey was the highest-selling jersey in the last 15 years, as far as a game-worn jersey worn in the last 15 years. So we're able to get record pricing across the board. We should be able to sell World Series rings for triple of our competitors. So we've definitely become a place to get top dollar for your collectors.
Okay, so Dave Amerimon with us. A few more minutes, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Perhaps someone is tuning in tonight and they want to connect with you. Dave, where can they find you online? I understand that you're also live every Thursday on Facebook, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Every Thursday, I host a show on our Facebook Live on Steiner's Facebook page. We have 600,000 subscribers. So during that show, I basically take questions and I look at photos and I can actually appraise memorabilia right on the spot. So it's a great way for people to send their items that they've sit in their closets for decades, or maybe they just purchased it the weekend before and they want to know what it's worth. But they can also connect with me if they go on SteinerAuctions.com. We have a tab where they can push to consign, and they can just click that button, and they can enter their memorabilia right there, and one of our experts will get back to them probably within 24 to 48 hours with estimates of value and if the item makes sense for us or not.
Nice. And of course, we extended the invitation tonight to Dave because Steiner Auctions is currently holding their Midsummer Classic auction, which ends the night, Saturday night, tomorrow night. And one of the items we definitely have to highlight, we've talked a little bit about some of the baseball collectibles and the NBA, of course, a LeBron James jersey. Brett Favre, talk to me about this, his final NFL game-worn and signed jersey.
Right, so we actually have the jersey that Brett Favre wore in December of 2010. That was his final jersey. He ended up getting knocked out of the game. The gentleman who purchased the jersey got it directly from the team moments after the game, not knowing if he'd come back and play again, and he ended up not being able to recoup and play again. So Brett Favre obviously holds the record for consecutive games, 297 consecutive games. This jersey was worn a few weeks after that. In the auction, we actually also have the jersey he wore on December 5th when his streak ended. So not only do we have his last ever game-worn jersey, we have the jersey that ended the streak as well. So we have both of those one-of-a-kind jerseys, and they're actually ending here very soon.
That is epic. That's very impressive. For NFL fans tuning in tonight, what other items can they look forward to?
For NFL fans, we actually have David Robinson's Green Bay Packers championship rings from 1965, 66, okay, and 1967. All those rings right in a row. We also have something really unique, really old. We have an original wire photo of Jim Thorpe in the Canton Bulldogs uniform, signed by Jim Thorpe. It's an image that you'll never see signed by Jim Thorpe. So we have that. We have multiple Jim Thorpe items, Dan Marino game used jersey, and the list just goes on and on.
Absolutely. Hey, you've been listening to The Voice. Dave Amerimon has been with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, the auction manager with Steiner Auctions. And of course, one more time, Dave, connect with our audience. Where can they find you online?
You guys can find me at steinerauctions.com. The auction takes place right there on the page. So you go there, they'll have all 1,200 lots live. We'll have a countdown clock to when it ends. And at 9 p.m., the auction's going to close, but you'll still be able to bid up until basically when people are stopped bidding. So we have a 15-minute rule. So people can bid every 15 minutes. If a bid is placed, the auction will keep extending. And then once people stop bidding, it probably will run to 3, 4 in the morning.
Oh, it's so exciting. Of course, the 2018 Midsummer Classic with Steiner Auctions of featuring more than 1,200 lots of sports entertainment. And as I said earlier, unique memorabilia. A true pleasure to have with us this evening, Dave Amerimon from Steiner Auctions. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Stick around. Much more coming your way at the next generation of sports radio. That is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, it's Friday night. Welcome back, SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. Before we get underway with our next interview, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, here we are in the middle of July, and it won't be long and the kids will be back in school. Fall sports will be in high gear. So in our next segment, we are going to focus on the prevention of youth sports injuries. And many of these injuries can be prevented. So we're going to talk about some of the strategies. We're all about giving some good information out there tonight, some good tips, and it's a segment you don't want to miss. And we are delighted to have with us Dr. Josh Dines, who is a leading orthopedic surgeon specializing in sports medicine. Dr. Dines works with the New York Mets, the New York Rangers, and USA Tennis. So Dr. Dines, first time on the show, good evening.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you on the program. And of course, today's young athletes, they are bigger, faster, stronger, and they push themselves harder than ever before. And as a result, and as a consequence, it brings the risk of experiencing sports-related injuries. And I'm going to open up our conversation and focus in on baseball. Of course, I had just mentioned in the open, you work with the Mets. So when we zero in on youth sports, there's been a rapid rise in Tommy John surgery in youth baseball. Why do you think that is?
No, it's a great question, and it's a real problem. We're seeing Tommy John surgery, obviously, for those who don't know, is the reconstructing the elbow ligament on the throwing arm that often breaks down from throwing. And it used to be sort of isolated to high-level throwers, professionals, college. But what is concerning, as you alluded to, is the preponderance of these injuries now occurring in younger and younger ages. I mean, I've seen them as young as 13. And that speaks to sometimes just bad luck, but really overuse. And it used to be that kids would play different sports. They might play baseball in the spring and football in the fall and basketball in the winter. Now, it's all of these sports have become year-round endeavors. Lots of kids are specializing, and sometimes the kids like it. Sometimes it starts with the parents where they see it as a way to get a college scholarship or even play professionally. So they've got pitching coaches all year. They're on winter teams and fall teams. And the ligament just can't stand that stress. You know, it needs to rest, especially as younger kids are growing. But if you continue to play and make too many throws and throw too hard, the ligament can break down, and that's when we're seeing the Tommy John surgeries being done in younger and younger ages.
Okay, so can a single pitch rupture the ligaments and in order for you to have this elbow surgery? I mean, you're talking about the wear and tear on the body.
Yeah, you know, it can. If you look at the biomechanics studies, it shows that throwing a baseball puts a ton of stress on the elbow. It puts more stress than the elbow ligament can withstand. So you might say, well, why doesn't it tear on every throw? Mm-hmm. But that's because you've got other muscles working to help stabilize the elbow and the shoulder. The problem is, you know, usually this is an acute on chronic type thing where it gets beaten up, and then one throw becomes the straw that breaks the camel's back. So it becomes, you know, one throw, but it's also been, there's been a prodrome leading up to that.
Hey, we're going one-on-one with Dr. Josh Dines. He is a prominent sports orthopedic surgeon in New York. Joining us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We don't want to get too far into our interview. Love to connect with you in many different ways and platforms. Always at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can go back and listen to this exclusive interview with Dr. Dines at podcastarena.com and give Dr. Dines a follow at Josh Dines, MD. So as we zero in, talking about Tommy John surgery, share with our listeners, what's the recovery time? I mean, what can a player expect, and what is ultimately the success rate?
So all great questions. And, you know, this is, I think, what often gets lost in translation because it's become so common almost amongst high-level players that parents almost assume that it's not a big deal. But the surgery is actually the easy part. You know, it takes about an hour. The patients go home that day, but the recovery is really the long stretch of time. You know, it takes about a year for high school players to come back to their previous level of play. And when we look more critically at the professional level, sometimes it's 14 or 15 months before they're back at their previous level of play. So the recovery is really, you know, it's not quick, and that's why anything we can do to prevent these injuries or avoid surgery is going to be beneficial to the athletes. The recovery really focuses on not only allowing that ligament to heal, but also kind of correcting things that or flaws that may have led to the ligament to break down in the first place. So working on shoulder strength and range of motion, working on core strength, really kind of fine-tuning these other body parts that often get neglected during the baseball season because you're really out there concentrating on throwing and hitting, and really using this as a time to fine-tune these other body parts to help compensate for the forces seen during the throwing motion.
Mm-hmm. I have to wonder, I got to ask you this question. I mean, is this surgery necessary for young athletes? Do you think, perhaps this is a bit controversial, but is it overdiagnosed? I mean, could there be a better or a more conservative treatment that would be offered?
Yeah, your questions are all great. I always try to err on the side of being conservative, especially because, as we just talked about, this is a long recovery. So I think
right. It
starts with education, you know, to both the athlete and the parents, because I think they see a lot of major league players who are back, you know, pitching after Tommy John surgery. So their feeling is, oh, I've got a partial tear or a sprain. You know what? I don't want this to linger. Let's just fix it, put it behind me, and then I'll be good as new or better is their perception sometimes. The problem is, again, once you educate them and make them realize, you know, that it's surgery, the risks of the surgery, the long recovery, and even in the best hands, when we look at the results in our orthopedic literature, the results of successful outcomes are only about 85%. So anything you can do to avoid surgery in these cases is beneficial. So for most kids, that involves, you know, looking at their mechanics, physical therapy to work on strengthening these other body parts that might help to compensate, such as the shoulder, the core, the other muscles around the elbow. There's things like different, you know, injections. People are now talking about PRP or different biologics that can help in certain instances. So I think we've got more tools available to us to try to treat this conservatively to avoid surgery, which is a good thing, because at the other end of the spectrum, it's probably being diagnosed more and more frequently, you know, as you alluded to.
Mm-hmm. You know, listening to you, it sounds like what you're talking about, the consequences of playing year-round baseball can be very costly. The demands, you know, are really pushing kids to the limit. And so as parents, we've got to monitor. We've got to do a better job. We've got to step up our A game, right? Right, Dr. Dines?
Absolutely. You know, and it's on the coaches and the parents, and a lot of individually, I think people really mean well. They want to protect their kid, but they'll have a pitch count for a game, and they know how many they should throw. But often, what gets missed is these kids are then playing on their own. They're going to showcases on the weekend,
right?
So all of a sudden, it becomes a lot more throws than are recommended by USA Baseball and by PitchSmart. So it really takes close monitoring by a variety of sources, and even the child, if they're old enough, should be an active participant in the process.
Okay, we talk a lot about baseball. What about girls' softball? I mean, do you see this type of injury in their sport?
Very rarely, and that's because we really see it in the pitchers in baseball, and obviously softball pitching is underhand. So you're not seeing the same stress at the elbow when you throw underhand as you do overhand. So that's a good thing, and that's protective, and that's why we're not seeing it in softball players. They get different injuries. They get, because of that underhand motion, they'll often get more biceps tendonitis, maybe some more rotator cuff tendonitis. So they get their own injury sort of profile, but it's a little different than overhand throwing in baseball.
Hey, you're listening to The Voice. Dr. Josh Dines with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's a leading sports orthopedic surgeon. He does a little bit of everything, the assistant team doctor for the New York Mets and the New York Rangers. And I know, Dr. Dines, you're up there in New York, but it is just stifling down here in the Lone Star State in Texas. I was coming back from San Antonio yesterday. It was 105. And so hydration, it really matters in order, preventing, sports injuries.
Absolutely.
So it can't be overstated. So I would love for you to weigh in tonight and just kind of share a little bit about, as far as we need to be drinking enough water to make our body keep functioning.
Absolutely. I can't stress that enough. I mean, it's 105 there. It's, 90 in New York, which feels stifling. And it does mean, I think, when it's that hot, it's easy for people to say, oh, I've got to drink a lot of water. What's deceptive is even when it's 70 degrees or 80 degrees, when they're out on the baseball field for a few hours, in the basketball court or football in pads, you dehydrate very quickly. And the problem is you're not going to catch up. So if you go in even at baseline or a little dehydrated, the second you start to play, you're going to get, go into the kind of the reserve tank, and that's a problem, because you're never going to get back to kind of neutral. So it really starts, especially for kids, if they know they're going to be playing later that day, and the Mets do this as well, like they start drinking water or Gatorade or some sort of sports type drink early in the day, so you kind of at least replenish your tank and get you kind of as full a level as possible or as hydrated a level as possible, so you can start falling back when you get out into the heat. But if you don't do that, it's just a setup for cramping, muscle pulls, muscle strains, and it can lead to muscle tears. It can lead to big injuries. So it's something that's often neglected or not appreciated as much. Like, oh, I'm just a little thirsty, or I sweat a lot, but it's okay. Dehydrated is not a real medical issue. But at the most basic level, it can lead to other muscle injuries. And look, we've seen much more severe cases of heat stroke and people dying sometimes because they're so dehydrated.
Hey, just a few more minutes. Dr. Josh Dines with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is providing some great information. We're all over the place. I want to shift gears. We want to learn more about you. Talk to us. I had mentioned several times you're the assistant team doctor for the New York Mets and the Rangers. How did you start working in Major League Baseball? We'd love to hear kind of your backstory. Share it.
Sure. I was always a sports fan growing up. Big baseball fan, hockey fan, football fan. So kind of watching sports, gravitating towards sports was sort of natural. And then in orthopedic surgery, we have the benefit of specializing. Some people specialize in sports medicine because of the types of injuries those athletes suffer from. So you mentioned Tommy John surgery, rotator cuff tears, shoulder dislocations, ACL tears, all these common sports injuries fall under the purview of orthopedic surgery and sports medicine specialists within orthopedic surgery. So for me, that became an obvious subspecialty. I did my training at Hospital for Special Surgery in New York, which is where I continue to work. But I did go to Los Angeles for a year where I did a fellowship at Curl and Joe, where they work with the Dodgers, the Lakers, and a lot of professional teams. And it was there that I first got exposed to working with a professional baseball team. And I loved it. I like that we do a great job, from a training staff and medical staff perspective at getting these players back and keeping them healthy. But by the same token, I think there's a lot of progress that can still be made in terms of preventing these injuries and getting athletes back quicker. So it just really kind of sparked a research interest of mine, and that then helped me get a foot in the door with the Mets, and I've been helping the team there.
How do you juggle
the last 5 years?
Well, I was going to ask you, how do you juggle just the demands of your schedule from your regular clients and then, of course, the professional athletes?
It's a lot, and it's busy, but again, so that's why I think it gets back to that I love it, because if you don't like it to be, mm-hmm. Going to a Mets game or a Ranger game at the end of your full work day and then, be there for another 4, 5, 6 hours, which is almost another work day, if it's not fun to you, then it's going to be torture. So I think you have to love it. I'll also use it as a sometimes it's a chance to get work done or at least bring friends with me to the game. So it's a chance to catch up and at least some, you know, some social benefit as well. But I think first and foremost, you have to love what you do.
Some great information tonight provided by Dr. Josh Dines. Thank you so much for joining us. First time on the program, I promise, open invitation, and we look forward to another conversation. Thank you.
I would love that. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Much for coming.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, hour number two. And we are always so glad when you join us each and every week. As promised, it is time for some NFL news and notes, 2018 team preview and prediction. That's right, we are going to talk about the New York Jets and the Giants. Last time, our guest, Christian Dyer, who is a sports writer for the Metro New York newspaper, we had him on in the spring, and we were talking about a potential Odell Beckham trade. And it's always good to have Christian Dyer back with us, who covers the Giants and the Jets, as I said, for the Metro New York newspaper. Good evening, Christian. Nice to have you.
Happy weekend, Alyssa.
Okay, we got a lot of ground to cover. But first and foremost, before we take a deep dive, what's been happening in the offseason with the Jets and the Giants? You know, we got a volatile coaching situation taking place in college football right now at Ohio State with Urban Meyer, you know, being placed on administrative leave. What is your reaction to what is going on right now?
Yeah, it's just another kind of sordid chapter for college football. When you look at what happened with Baylor a couple years ago, very sad story for a program and a university that really kind of, you know, was founded on the idea of doing something better and something higher. That was a really devastating story, and the cover-ups and kind of the lying that went on there. And then you go back a few years ago, and I remember being on your show and talking Penn State with you and Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah.
And, you know, these things happen. Arrests happen. You know, assistant coaches, head coaches, human, they're fallible. But it's really a matter of covering up potentially with the allegations, and also just maybe not really doing the right thing and putting football ahead of people, ahead of marriages, ahead of families. And I think that's what's concerning here. And you go back to where Urban Meyer was when he was in Florida. That was a program that certainly had a fair share of encounters with and run-ins with the law. A number of players arrested, players kicked off the program after repeated violations, and Urban Meyer kind of leaving that program, remember taking a year off for mental health purposes, or 2 years off, and then kind of resurfacing again at Ohio State. So you look at this and you can't help but wonder, Alyssa, if this, in the pursuit of excellence, in the pursuit of winning the Big Ten, you know, Michigan now is creeping up again, and Michigan State has done so well in recent years. Wisconsin's always kind of in the mix there. If Urban Meyer maybe just cutting a corner or two to bring some glory to Columbus, maybe overlook some things, and again, putting football ahead of safety and well-being and health of a family and a wife in particular with these allegations. So it's scary stuff. It's disappointing stuff. I do not expect that Urban Meyer is going to be the coach come week one for Ohio State. I don't think he's going to be coaching Ohio State at all this year. In all likelihood, never again, if recent history kind of points towards how universities handle these types of situations. And then at the end of the day, you have to wonder what Urban Meyer's future is going to be in all of this. He's a talented coach, one of the best recruiters out there, a tremendous game day coach. You look purely at the indexes and what he's managed to put together over his career. One of the all-time great college coaches in college football history. He will land somewhere, which maybe is more of an indictment of where we put sports as a priority in our lives. But, a very scary situation. And I think the fallout on the recruiting trail is going to be pretty prominent with some of those Big Ten programs looking to swoop in. Ohio State's got a top 10 recruiting class, maybe a little bit higher heading into this week. So there's going to be a lot of fallout throughout college football with this.
Well, there's a lot to digest about this story, and we wanted to get your reaction just to see, you know, ultimately how this is going to play out. Right now with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, it is Christian Dyer. He covers the NFL for the Metro New York newspaper. And so let's shift gears. Let's talk about the Jets. I mean, what kind of progress do you think is going to take place in 2018?
It's going to be hard to measure progress. I think in some ways the Jets are maybe just about the same level team that they were a year ago. Remember when we were talking last August, a lot of pundits and a very prominent national radio host, not on this network, mind you, a very prominent one, said that the Jets are going to go winless. They're going to be 0-16 and the worst team in football. And if you, in the first 5 weeks, they were 3-2. They went into week six, a home game against the New England Patriots. We're up on them in the fourth quarter. There was a touchdown that should have been called back, that shouldn't have been called back on Austin Seferian Jenkins when he broke the plane. The replay involves some sort of bizarre ruling that I don't think Jets fans are justified with to this day. I'm not justified with it as someone who covers the teams. And, you know, that was a team that could very well have been 4-2 heading into week seven. And I know that the final record of 4-12 indicates a team that wasn't all that great. They had a quarterback situation where second half of the year, Josh McCown, who was very solid for them, was out for the rest of the year with an injury. So I think this is a team that's just about where they were a year ago, but it's a team that's getting younger, it's getting faster, it's getting deeper, and it's also a team that really is pointed towards 2019. The Jets could have well over $100 million in salary cap space. It's going to be a pretty talented and deep class of free agents that they'll be able to go after. So I think the final record this year, as long as it shows some improvement over 4-12, it might be 5 wins, it might be 6 wins. I think that's going to be the barometer by which this season is measured, as well as how this team does in developing Sam Darnold. This is a team that's right. all about their quarterback of the future. They moved a lot of pieces to get him in the draft, to move from the sixth pick to the third pick. He was the consensus number one quarterback in the draft about a month before all this was happening. And some people thought even the day of the draft, Darnold was heading to the Cleveland Browns. So this season's all about pointing towards 2019 and beyond for the Jets. It's not a playoff or bust mandate by any stretch.
Well, I was going to say, Sam Darnold certainly will be the primary storyline for the Jets this season. But in order for, you're talking about the Jets, do they have to make the playoffs in order for head coach Todd Bowles and for the general manager to be able to keep their jobs? I mean, are they on the hot seat at all?
Yeah, when you look at the talent on this roster, it is a young roster. It's not a star-laden roster. There are very few players on this roster outside of a couple guys on their back end, Jamal Adams and Marcus May, who are safeties. Trumaine Johnson, who they brought in as a cornerback, I guess you could qualify him as a star. Leonard Williams on the defensive side of the ball. But offensively, very few players, if any, who you would say are upper echelon players in this league. This was a roster that was designed with that in mind, with free agency next year, going after a big splash, bringing in some names. These are depth players. They're quality players. They're pieces to the puzzle, but they're not the most prominent pieces. And I think to hold Todd Bowles now entering, what is it, his fourth year with the Jets, really the second year of a rebuild to the standard of making the playoffs, I've been told that that's not the standard that Chris Johnson, the Jets owner, is going to be eyeing when evaluating this year. It will be a challenge, though. I think the Jets outpunched their weight class a little bit last year. Of the losses, they had 12 of them. 8 of the losses were by 9 points or fewer last year. So this is a team that was hanging in some games, wasn't getting blown out, wasn't susceptible to the big losses we've seen before. You know, for Todd Bowles to keep his job, I think he needs to maintain that kind of status quo, maybe win another game or two, mm-hmm. but kind of keep the team developing, growing, and pointing to the fact that probably by the second half of the year, the Jets have a bye week, and then week 10 play the New England Patriots. I think there's a very good chance that we could see Sam Darnold starting by that point. So at the end of the day, the development of Darnold and a team playing competitively is probably going to end up being the deciding factor if Todd Bowles comes back.
Okay, the NFL preseason, it is here. We're going one-on-one. Christian Dyer, gosh, a great guest who covers the NFL for the Metro New York newspaper. Let's talk some more about Sam Darnold. I mean, what's going to be the key to his development this year and so that he can, as you're talking about, at some point, win the starting job?
Yeah, the cliche answer is always the playbook, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to understand that, getting the verbiage down. Now, the benefit that he has is that at USC, he was in a pro-style system that had an awful lot of similarities to that of what the Jets are going to be running. So I think that he will certainly benefit from that. But beyond that, it's going to be really speed of play. This is a guy who's turning 21 years old this summer, so he's still a very young player at quarterback. He's somebody who's going to need to work kind of on his progression. A lot of what he did at USC was hit the hot read kind of or make a quick dump. In the NFL, you can't get away with that all the time. And it's going to be decision-making process as well. Sam Darnold did have a tendency last year to hold on to the ball a little bit too much in the pocket at USC. That led to some fumbles that were uncharacteristic of his first couple of seasons in college football. And then making some of the decisions down the field, throwing into double coverage, believing in his arm too much, trusting his receivers too much. Those are things that could lead to pick sixes in the NFL and a spot on the bench. The good news, Alyssa, for the Jets is they have Teddy Bridgewater and Josh McCown both on the roster, both quarterbacks who can start. Sam Darnold won't be rushed along like we saw Mark Sanchez or Geno Smith in previous years. So I think he's going to have time to develop. But at some point this year, he will be the starting quarterback for this team.
Okay, a lot of talk offensively for the Jets. Give us a quick hit defensively. What are the expectations? And are you anticipating some improvement on the defensive end?
Yeah, this is a pretty good defense, and not a lot of people, I think, talked about it or gave them credit last year. And I remember on your show, you were talking about the defense and how you thought it was going to be one of the spine of the team. And I agree with you. I think that carries over to this year. No, this is going to be the identity of the Jets moving forward. And it's going to it reminds me a little bit of those Jets teams, 2009, 2010, when they made the AFC Championship game first 2 years under Rex Ryan. It was the defense and then a ball control offense that was able to run the ball, set up the play action, and use playmakers down the field on occasion to put up enough points to become a playoff team and then be in straight years a game shy of the Super Bowl. Leonard Williams is a guy, you know, we were talking USC with Sam Darnold. He's a player who also came out of USC, a defensive end. He won't benefit from having Muhammad Wilkerson, who's had a down couple years for the Jets the past couple years. Wilkerson left this offseason in free agency to the Green Bay Packers. But Wilkerson was always a threat. He would command double teams, opened up a lot of space for Leonard Williams. So I think a lot of this now, this pass rush is going to have to come from Leonard Williams. I think the linebacker position, they have some speed, they have some depth there, which is something that they haven't had in years past. They are going to have to replace DeMario Davis, though, who to me was the most underrated middle linebacker in the NFL. Should have been in the Pro Bowl a year ago. He left for the New Orleans Saints. You know, I like kind of what they've done, though, at the linebacker position. And the back end there is going to be a very strong unit, in particular the safeties with Marcus May and Jamal Adams have the potential to be Pro Bowl caliber players for the next decade. So there are some good building blocks for the Jets defensively. It's going to be a matter of, can they do some things offensively? Can they move the ball? Can they control the clock a little bit so that the defense isn't on the field 38, 40 minutes a game?
NFL preseason continues, but we're going to step aside for a quick break and be rejoined with Christian Dyer from the Metro New York newspaper.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we're going to rejoin from the Metro New York newspaper. That is Christian Dyer. Hey, just a few more minutes with Christian Dyer. Give him a follow at Twitter, at Christian R. Dyer, D-Y-E-R. Of course, covers the NFL. A regular guest right here at our network at SB Nation. He covers the Metro New York newspaper. Of course, we were just highlighting the Jets. Christian, just a few more minutes. Let's transition right now, and let's give a team preview and prediction on the Giants. Eli Manning, he's looking to make one more championship run, and there has been massive change that's taken place in the offseason. What can we look forward to?
Yeah, this kind of is the closing window there for for Manning. I know
right.
There's been talk about him, you know, potentially playing to 40. He's 37 this year, turned that this past winter. So there's a window of 2 to 3 years' time. And you talk about a guy who doesn't get a whole lot of respect. Manning, 4 Pro Bowl appearances, twice a Super Bowl MVP, and we're wondering if he has what's left in the tank. Now, last year was a down year for him. Certainly was a down year for the entire Giants offense in a 3-13 year. Odell Beckham out for 2/3 of the year. Sterling Shepard in and out of the lineup with injury. Brandon Marshall, who they were counting on to be a playmaker for them, missed half to two-thirds of the season as well, and an offensive line that was patchwork at best.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Probably the worst offensive line in terms of sheer talent, I believe, in the NFL. I think to judge Manning for what was 2,600 yards that year. He had some injuries, too. He was benched inexplicably at one point during the season, ending his Ironman streak. I think to say that Manning is going to be more like that guy rather than the quarterback we saw in 2016, over 4,000 yards, kind of holding true with his touchdown-to-interception ratio for his career. I think Manning, with a decent offensive line and a decent run game, can be that quarterback from 2016. Maybe not as flashy, but he's got Odell Beckham, who will be back. Looks good in training camp. Evan Engram, their first-round pick at tight end, can't block for a lick, but he can get open down the field and stretch things for them. And Sterling Shepard has really developed into a nice number two option there at wide receiver. And the offensive line has improved with Nate Solder, Patrick Amame at guard, helping solidify things. And Will Hernandez, their second-round pick out of University of Texas, El Paso, is a guy who plays with a nasty streak. He's already gotten into one fight, and it wasn't even in training camp. It was at mini camp. So that tells you his demeanor and his personality on the field. And then, of course, Saquon Barkley as well, the first-round pick, number two overall out of Penn State. To me, the best athlete in the draft. He may take a year or two because the Giants are going to have to piece together an offensive line for him. But if they do, I think this could be the first time in a long time we've seen the Giants with a balanced offense that isn't relying solely on Eli Manning to Odell Beckham to move the ball.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the Giants coming off a 3-13 season, new coach, new general manager, and of course, a great breakdown from Christian Dyer, who covers the NFL for the Metro New York newspaper, the Jets and the Giants. Always a true pleasure. Thanks, Christian.
Take care, Alyssa. Thank you.
That, of course, is Christian Dyer, covers the NFL for the Metro New York newspaper. Always a true pleasure to have him on the program. Give him a follow, Christian R. Dyer. And also a very special thank you to all of our amazing guests and lineup. Join us each and every week right here at SB Nation Radio.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.